Today on the Profitable Tradie Podcast.
Today we're going to dig into what you need to do to survive, but also to thrive in this kind of environment, because you can.
If you don't have a plan, you know, to adapt and be proactive and work hard through these times, you can run into some big problems. If you're focused on what you can control,
you become resourceful because you're working on something you can actually control.
Exactly.
When things get tough, you've got to fit your own oxygen mask first. That's absolutely critical.
It's critical. Who owes you money? Who's due? Who's overdue? Call in all of them. Every day. You're not being difficult doing this. Like, it's your money.
It's your money.
It should be in your bank account. Hey, who cares? I'm making good money and we're good and I've got lots of cash in the bank and things are great. You've paid with your years of expertise and knowledge and the quality that you've brought to the job. You have paid, man. Now you deserve to be paid back with interest, which is your margin. Those basics are stuff that you absolutely should be doing. And if you were doing them really well, you'd be crushing it even
Crush
more.
It.
It's what's going to make or break your business.
When the economy struggles and work dries up, lots of businesses tighten up, panic, and hope to ride it out and get overwhelmed with the stress of the situation. But there are others who survive and often thrive. Now, tune into this episode where we talk through some of the challenges currently facing business owners and how you can set your business up to get through and succeed.
You're listening to the Profitable Tradie Podcast. We will help you turn your business into a money-making machine. We know you're busy, so we'll make it worth your time. Thanks for tuning in. And remember, time is money and we're here to help you make more of both. So hit the follow button and let's get started. To the podcast.
Welcome to the Profitable Tradie Podcast. Tony Fraser-Jones here with Phil Smith, the big man himself.
G'day, mate.
Yep, the beacon of hope in tough times.
Oh, gotta love being a beacon.
That's you, buddy.
Better than just having a beak.
That's right.
Yeah. All right, let's get into it.
Yeah, what are we talking about?
We're talking about tough times and, you know, things like clients delaying decisions, leads drying up, margins getting squeezed. Everyone starts playing defense. Cash flow can get tight. You start trying to keep things tight to get through and the stress levels go through the roof. So, you know, you're trying to keep your team busy, paying bills. Everything's really mounting up. And so people can go into survival mode and almost just hibernate, you know, like it's winter time. And, you know, I've had some people say to me lately, you know, they've worked super hard for, you know, the last year, only just to break even. It's pretty tough.
Yeah, and those people are like feeling a little bit, I guess, overwhelmed and frustrated that all they've done is, you know, sort of tread water for a year. And they're looking out at the environment, which, you know, there's some challenging things happening. Obviously, politically, there's some interesting stuff and all sorts of tariffs and stuff happening.
We won't go too deep into that.
Yeah, but it's an interesting time and I don't think anyone knows what's really going to go on. But it's causing uncertainty in a market that was already a little bit slow. And so that can cause, you know, people to put their wallets away a little bit. It's not something to be, you know, totally stressed out about, because if you do that, what happens, you end up, you know, becoming very inward looking. You try and keep things really tight. That really doesn't work. You know, there's more competition. People stop trying to spend money on marketing or anything like that, and they get less work. And it's kind of a downward spiral if you're not careful. So you do need to be proactive in these situations. And like you said, we see a lot of people just go into survival mode, and that's pretty tough. They just don't do anything and hope for it to get better, you know, come out of the burrow when winter's over. And unfortunately, business is not like that. That's actually how you guarantee that you're going to struggle if you do that. So you really don't want to do that. And the smart operators, they're starting to lean in. They're getting sharper. They're actually starting to pay offense instead of defense when everyone else is hiding. So I think today we really want to dig into what you need to do to survive, but also to thrive in this kind of environment, because you can. It's really about what you do. And how you run your business rather than just letting stuff happen to you. In other words, you know, you kind of don't want to worry about the economy. You want to create your own economy. Yeah. That's super important.
Yeah, massive. And I'm sure you got a great story to kick us off.
I do. It's one of my favorite adventure books, this one. It's called The Awesome Adventures of a Fat Boy Rower. And it's written by a guy called Kevin
Bigger. I feel like I could have written this.
Yeah, you probably could have, actually. A guy called Kevin Bigger, who we've had actually talk at some of our Million Dollar Tradie events. Very interesting guy. And him and a mate, James Fitzgerald, they were in a rowing race across the Atlantic. I think they started in the UK, didn't they? They went across to the Bahamas, was it?
Something like that,
yeah. Anyway, they, you know, took them ages to set this boat up as a race and got some sponsors. And they were in the front group of this race. I think they were just behind the people who were leading. And there was this massive storm near the end of the race. Huge storm, headwinds, massive currents, and they kept rowing through this storm. And it was tough. Like, this storm was like, you know, it was 24 hours. They just kept rowing. These guys were rowing like for basically 22 out of 24 hours a day. It's nuts. Anyway. And when they checked their distance over that period of time, it was some negligible amount. I think it was about 8 miles.
Oh, no, I remember this. It was he called up his support team in the morning, and he said, "Hey, I've rowed all night. I've battled it out, you know." And others at the time had thrown out their sea anchor, and just basically battened down the hatches to weather the storm. But he called up his support team and he said, "Hey, you know, how far have I made it? You know, like, we battled all night. How far did we go?" And they go, "You've actually gone backwards like 5 miles."
It was backwards, wasn't it?
He'd gone backwards.
So they were absolutely gutted. But the thing is, they'd kept rowing, and the guys had put their sea anchor back, had actually gone back a long way. They'd actually lost 30, 50 miles.
Yeah.
And so Kevin and James went from being slightly behind to in front.
Yeah.
And they really hadn't gained any distance at all. But relative to the rest of the race, they had, because everyone else had just hunkered down, put their sea anchor out, hadn't rowed, and just tried to ride the storm out. And so there's a really good lesson in that. You know, you got to keep chipping away and being positive, because even sometimes just breaking even is actually a big win, because a lot of people are going backwards big time.
Well, if everyone else lost tons of money, then that's actually, you've just got a really, really lot further ahead. And the favourite thing about that story actually is that Kevin and James won that race.
They did.
By about 30 miles, which was about how far everybody else had gone back when they didn't. And so I think what it really shows you is that gap that you can create on other people by, you know, working hard through those tough times and not just battening down the hatches, you know, that gap could be irrecoverable for your competitors. And so it might feel like you're not going very far, but you're not going backwards. And actually for everybody else, if they've gone backwards, that's an irrecoverable gap. And obviously when times pick up and, you know, people start spending more money and everything's, you know, happy days and you got your next golden summer, you're so far ahead they can't catch you. And at that point you'll really capitalize, whereas they'll be rebuilding. And so I think it's not to be taken for granted, you know, what you can achieve in tough times.
That's exactly right. And it's not necessarily that you're just going to survive as well. You know, there are lots of people and lots of our members are still making really good profits in this time, but they are doing things a bit differently. And I think that's what we really want to dig into today, what they actually do and what you need to do to actually, you know, be on the front foot with what's happening.
Yeah, 100%. And I think if you don't have a plan, you know, to adapt and be proactive and work hard through these times, you can run into some big problems.
Yeah, well, the first thing is you effectively get caught just chasing the scraps, because there is potentially less work to go around, a bit more competition, and you're just waiting to see what falls off the table, the crumbs, as it were, which is not a great way to be. You know, what often happens is because your workflow's down, you either get rid of workers or people leave because they're like concerned. And so you often your best team members leave, and you know, you're actually gutting the quality of your business. And so when times pick up, you're really on the back foot, which is not great. And in that situation, what the tendency to do is for us to work harder. We're working harder trying to keep everything together, and we can get burnt out just trying to keep the ship afloat. And you know, if you don't do it right, you can actually run into trouble, and your business can die and go broke if you just kind of ignore things and just see what happens. And that stress is super overwhelming. And then, as you mentioned, you know, when the market does pick up, you're just not ready to take advantage. You've got to spend 12, 18 months, 24 months actually rebuilding your business so you can actually take advantage of what's coming. Because as sure as anything, you know, summer follows spring, and we will have, you know, another busier time that'll happen.
Yeah, exactly. And I think, you know, we see this all the time. People have gone through a hard time and they've gutted their team. They've, you know, laid off a bunch of people, and instead of working hard to keep them busy or busy enough, they've, you know, they've gotten rid of especially a lot of their infrastructure, you know, like key roles, estimators, ops managers and the like, and not to mention tradesmen. And then what you end up with is suddenly the work picks up and your clients are trying to come back to you to do the same sort of projects you were doing before. But A, you don't have the manpower, and B, you don't have the ability to even get the work priced because you don't have an estimator anymore. You can't manage the job, so you bring on some more tradesmen, but there's too many for you, and now you don't have an ops manager. And you know, things like that can really screw you, and you're not in a position to actually capitalize when things turn around, because the market can often turn around faster than you can rebuild your team, which is, you know, pretty scary. So on the other hand, if you can do this well and you can be proactive and work hard through these times, big upsides.
Yeah, I think you can make sure that you're in a calm, clear headspace and you're in control of things. You'll generate work. You'll find the little pockets of work through your proactive efforts. And you can actually grow your business. Maybe not as much at other times, but you can still grow it while other people are shrinking. And you actually can grow market share, which is important. And you can retain the team you've got, which is critically important, so that you're in a good position. Because, you know, it is difficult to find the right people. You have to spend effort on that. It's not, you know, it's definitely very achievable. It's something we spend a lot of time with our members on, figuring out who to hire and how to hire. when you find them, you don't want to just lose them. You want to keep them and nurture them. So I think that's important. And as you said, you've got a solid foundation for when things pick up, which is exciting.
Yeah, 100%. Be ready to capitalize. So where do we start with this?
Well, the funny thing about this discussion is we're talking about, you know, how to survive and thrive in a challenging environment. It's kind of the same stuff as any environment, really. You've just got to be better. Mm. That's the thing. It's more important to do the basics well. Absolutely critical. And so the first thing is understanding the numbers that are important to your business. It's knowing and showing the numbers of the business. You mean, numbers are the language of business, and you absolutely have to understand profit. You know, what is my monthly profit? What is my P&L telling me about how this business is operating? So that means you need to run a monthly P&L. You need to understand what's my revenue? What's my gross profit? You know, how much money am I making off the jobs I'm doing? What's my overheads? And what's my profit left at the end? And what are the margins? Because the margins will tell you, you know, there's some benchmarks. And a lot of what we do with our members is we have benchmarks around what, you know, businesses need to be hitting. And if you're not there, you can see that you've got some opportunity. So, but if you don't know that, you can't know where the problems are. So that's important. So profit is massive. And then probably more important, isn't it, is actually costing your jobs. Hmm. So effective pricing, but actually job, you know, back costing the jobs you've done, because that's the engine room of profitability in your business. And when it's tight, you've got to make sure the work you're doing has some profit in it, because otherwise there's no point.
Well, if you're going to be getting less jobs through the books, it's really, really important that you maximize all of the jobs that are there, you know, and that you're getting the most profit you possibly could have got, and that you're actually pricing really, really effectively, and you're catching all the details, making sure that you're making all the margin you could have. And I think, you know, you said something earlier about doing the basics and how it's the same as always. There is actually a key difference. And for me, it's that when times are good, when you're in that golden summer, those basics are stuff that you absolutely should be doing. And if you were doing them really well, you'd be crushing it even
crush
more.
It.
But you can get away with not doing them. And I think that's hard, is that when times are good, people get complacent because I might not have made my best possible margin out of that last job, but it's cool because I've got so many jobs in the books and, you know, margin was pretty good and, you know, people are just spending anyway and all that. And it's like, maybe I could have made a little bit more out of it, but hey, who cares? I'm making good money and we're good and I've got lots of cash in the bank and things are great. And so the thing is, you can get away with a bit of complacency. And so you should always have been doing it, but you can get away with not doing some of this stuff when it's great. Whereas it's just that absolute, you know, strict, you know, sticking to the basics and just being consistent with them, which is stuff that you always should have done, but it becomes from stuff that would have take you from good to great when it's a good time. It's the stuff that really makes or breaks a company when times are tough. And so it is the same stuff, but it's a completely different mindset on it. It's being strict with yourself and sticking to it and being consistent. That's really what we're talking about.
Yeah,
right?
It reminds me of that classic sort of line, you know, you know who's naked when the tide goes out, and that's what it is.
Yeah.
It's easy when the tide's in because it covers everything up.
Yeah,
but exactly. When it goes out, it's like, oh, hello. So getting
it's the same with anything in life. I mean, like, damn, when I'm in stages of my life when I'm exercising all the time, well, hey, I can get away with eating bloody anything because I'm going to burn it off, you know. But if that's actually me slipping on a habit. Whereas on the other hand, if I, you know, stuck to a better diet while I'm exercising like that, well, I might, you know, look a lot better in the mirror. I might feel a lot better about myself. I'd be even fitter again. But you can get away with it at times. Another time you decrease the exercise, if I keep that bad diet up, well, now I'm really screwed. And so if I'm not going to be able to exercise for a while, well, then I've got to be better with my diet, which is actually a basic I should have always stuck to. But you can get away with it at times, right? And I think that's really what we're getting at, is you can't get away with dropping the basics when times are tough. It's what's going to make or break your business.
Well, it concerns me too, because I'm worried about your health. You know, I want you to look as good as I do when you're 50.
Well, you know,
so, you know, you need to sharpen up.
You are a specimen.
Anyway, but yeah, knowing your numbers is critical. Cash flow as well. So, you know, when times are good, money comes in, it goes out, and you can tend to paper over the cracks. But you should do this anyway, but a cash flow forecast is actually looking at over the next 8 to 12 weeks, how much money am I going to have in my bank account each week? It's actually really easy to do. We do with our members. You just need the start bank balance, all the money coming in, all the money going out that weekend, it'll give you the end bank balance. You can roll that over for 8 to 12 weeks, estimate the work that's coming in. Yeah, you can do that and just update it as you go. Absolutely critical, because you can see, hey, this is where I'm short. You know, what do I need to do? What levers do I need to pull? So getting across those numbers, massive. I just cannot emphasize how important that is, because what you know, you can manage. You know, what you measure, you can manage. And what you measure too is what you change. You can see where things are at, you know, like job costing. There'll be some jobs you do that actually aren't making money. So it's certain types of jobs, maybe certain types of clients. And so it's about, well, they're no good. Let's, you know, refocus on the ones that, that actually do.
Well, it's knowledge is power, right?
And if knowledge
you
is power.
If you have knowledge, you have power. If you don't have knowledge, well, you're powerless. And so I think that's the thing, is that you're just completely throwing caution to the wind if you're not looking at this stuff all the time, and especially when times are tough.
Well, that's true. And let's be honest, and we see this, you know, sometimes with people we help in the beginning of their journey, is sometimes it's a bit more comfortable to actually put your head in the sand and not know where things are at, because
it's often more comfortable. It's the same reason why we don't stand on the scales every day, Tony, is because we don't actually want to see the answer, right?
The thing is, it feels comfortable for a short period of time, but it will be bad if you don't know.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
So, you know, you forearmed is forewarned. You got the information, you actually do something about it. It's absolutely critical to pony up and do that, put the effort in there.
Yeah, totally. Well, I think for me, the next one is you need to focus on getting paid. Like, when times are tough and you might not have as much money coming through the door, it's absolutely critical that you're paid every dollar you're owed. And I think, like, again, when times are easy, we can be a bit more lenient with clients and we can let this slide a little bit. And you never actually should do that, but people get away with it when times are tough, you know. And I think when times are tough, you really can't let yourself be owed money that should be in your bank account. So the first thing here is a really strong focus on, you know, your accounts receivable. So what money am I owed, and being paid on time every time. So this is often just a simple, simple process of, you know, every single day you have a list of everybody who owes you money, and then you're calling them every day. It's very simple. And I think what we often get wrong is, A, we don't look at it. B, we explain away stuff without even speaking to the person who owes us money. So for example, Tony, yeah, sure, he's 2 days overdue, but you know, it's only 2 days, and I know Tony's good for it. He's a good man, and you know, we've been friends for years and all this, and so I don't even call him because I'm explaining away to myself all the reasons why Tony's good for it. You know, and the thing is that when I explain it to myself, my own logic makes sense. No brainer there. It's my logic. Of course it makes sense to me. And what I'm really doing is actually making excuses not to have to do the hard thing and call Tony. But the reality is that every single day that goes by, Tony is actually less likely to pay me. Like, this has been studied. And, you know, the fact is that when times are tough economically, it's usually tough for everybody. And so the fact is that when times are good, Tony's missed, you know, he's a day overdue. Yeah, he's good for it. You know, he's probably just forgotten. Whereas when times are tough, if Tony's a day overdue, it's actually very possible Tony does not have the money. Tony is screwed and Tony is not prioritizing me. And every day that I don't prioritize getting paid by Tony, Tony gets reinforced that he doesn't have to prioritize paying me, because clearly I don't care. So number one is you need to be looking at your accounts receivables daily. Who owes you money? Who's due? Who's overdue? Call in all of them every day. Just be a dog with a bone with it and make sure you're bringing that cash in. And just remember that you're not being difficult doing this. Like, it's your money.
It should
be in your bank account. And whoever owes you money is currently using you as a bank, because the fact is you've already paid for their outcome. You've paid for the materials. You've paid for the labor. You've paid for any subbies you had to bring in, any equipment hire. You've paid for all of this. You know, you've paid with your years of expertise and knowledge and the quality that you've brought to the job. You have paid, man. And now you deserve to be paid back with interest, which is your margin. And so in this case, like, if they're not paying you, basically they're sitting pretty with their outcome, their completed job that they're stoked with, and they're just using you as a bank. You know, so it's your money. It's your money. Get it.
Yeah. And when they are not paying you and they're waiting a few days, they're paying someone.
Oh, absolutely.
They're paying the person who's most, giving them the biggest pain in the butt.
Yeah.
And so you have to be the squeaky wheel in these situations. And I think in this environment, that's even more important.
It's absolutely critical. And the next part of this is, you know, wherever you can get paid in a more timely manner, you know, it's even better. So first thing with this is I would be looking at when times are tough, it's like, can you shorten your payment terms? And like, this seems quite counterintuitive, right? Because you think when times are tough, people are going to need longer to pay. No, not necessarily. Because again, like you said, they're paying someone. Whereas if you shorten your payment terms, then maybe you just get paid more promptly and they know it's more of a priority to pay you because they've got less time to do it. So they just get on and pay you. So, you know, maybe you can shorten your payment terms and actually just make sure that their money comes in faster. And you're getting paid as close as possible to the outcome being delivered, because they'll never be happier with the job than the minute it's done. So that's one thing. Next thing is, can you take deposits? So increase the amount of deposit you were taking. So if you can front load your cash flow a bit better, well, it shortens your cash gap. So it means if I'm taking a deposit for a job, then when I'm paying for those materials and that labor and those subbies and that equipment hire and all of this, it's like I'm not paying from a point of deficit. I've already brought in some cash, and so I'm not putting myself in a hole hoping to fill it in later. The hole's just not as deep in the first place, or maybe not even there. So again, if you can take deposits or take a higher deposit than you were taking in the first place, do that. Next thing is, obviously progress payments. So if you're working on bigger projects that are going to be done over time, really being a dog with a bone with your progress payments and, making sure that this is very clear in terms of expectations up front. It's in writing, it's in your terms of trade. You're going to get progress payments. They'll be done in these timeframes. And then holding them to those timeframes, as part of your accounts receivable process. I think when times are good, we can get lax with progress payments. They come a couple of days late and we're like, oh, it's just a progress payment. I mean, it's not really AR until the end of the job, right? Wrong. Like the minute they owe you any money, you need to bring it in because, cash is really, really important in tough times and you need to be holding your cash close and bringing it in as soon as possible. So I think it's really a mentality for me. And I think when times are tough, we know it's tough for us. We know it's tough for other people. And, sometimes we can tell ourselves stories of, I wish people would give me a break, so I'm going to give everyone else a break. But the thing is, you don't need a break if you don't give them a break. And you have to look out for yourself because at the end of the day, no one else is going
to. That when things get tough, you've got to fit your own oxygen mask first. That's absolutely critical.
It's critical.
And that I think that change of mindset feeds into sales and marketing as well. And I know this is challenging for a lot of people listening because we're tradespeople, we're technicians, we do the work, and when the environment's good, often there's more work than we can deal with, and it's just about finding people to do the work, building your team. But this environment, which is more of a normal business environment, most businesses have to fight for work. You have to lean into your sales and marketing activity, not away from it. And look, I get it that this can be challenging because this is not often what we're used to, but unfortunately that's not an excuse that's going to fly because... well, you need work, right? And so it's actually having a focus on that I need to go out there and win work. It's my job as a business owner or someone in my business, but it's my job to make it happen, to have an outward-looking focus, to be proactive in our pursuit for jobs and leads and new clients. Because this is even more important because competition is more fierce because there's less work going around for the similar number of contractors or trades businesses. And so we just got to be better at this stuff.
Yeah.
And so that means giving it a focus. So that means educating yourself about it. It means trying stuff. It means massive activity. So it means getting into Google Ads if you're doing service work. It means building up your email database and using email marketing. It means becoming proficient with social media and getting a good organic content strategy running on Insta and TikTok and if you're old like me on Facebook as well. It's dying slowly. But anyway, whatever. Newsflash, TikTok is really happening these days.
Oh, yeah.
And you'll probably see Phil and I on there a bit as well. So, it's your lucky day.
Couple of handsome devils.
That's right. It might be that you're starting to get lists of businesses and target them with direct mail and follow-up strategies using phone and visit. There's a whole bunch of strategies to put in place there. Upselling is another one, like actually get good when you're out in the field on a site, actually looking to help the client with more work. It's a real mindset shift.
Well, this is massive because, at the end of the day, if you're going to have, less jobs through the books, you need to maximize every job that does come through the books. So one part of that is margin, making sure I'm getting the very best margin. But, upselling, I think, is such an underrated way to boost your revenue back up. And to actually boost profit as well, because you've already paid for that client, whatever client acquisition cost you do have in any form of marketing or sales process or anything, you have that client, you're already there. So if you can upsell and you can even add like $100 to every job, or you can add $200, $500, whatever, if you can add to every single job, then the thing is that you don't actually need as many jobs through the books in order to maintain the same revenue and actually improve, not just maintain, but improve your profit margin. So it's an underrated strategy, and I think it's that mindset, it's that mentality of I'm going to maximize everything I do have because I don't have abundance of opportunity. And so if it's genuinely tough out there to bring work in, then please maximize every job you do get. It's crucial.
That's the key. I guess what I really want people to get across is that it requires a mindset shift, and so you have to be a hunter. You got to go out there and hunt work.
Yeah.
That's your job.
And you may have to hunt different work than you did before.
That's exactly right. You may have to do that. Different clients, different segments.
Yeah.
For example, if you've been in a lot of high volume housing, you know, lower cost housing or group housing, that river in a lot of countries and states is not running like it was.
Yeah.
So you need to switch. And maybe you're doing renovations or you're looking for property management, real estate, strata, or there's a whole bunch of industrial work, whatever it is, you've got to go
honestly,
look.
The beauty of trades work is that as an industry, it cannot die. It cannot. And so, but that's as an overall industry. Now, that's not to be said of every niche. Like niches can slow down and speed up, but the reality is, as an industry, this can't go away because, you know, from just look at service and maintenance work. If I'm sitting at home and my toilet begins overflowing, I'm not going to be like, hey, oh my gosh, it's a recession. I'll probably just let it overflow. Don't worry about getting a plumber. No, you're calling a plumber. It doesn't matter what's happening in the economy, you're going to call a plumber, right? So, you know, if the lights go out of my house, I'm going to get an electrician to come. I will. It doesn't matter what's happening in the economy. So I think the thing is that, you know, you can apply that across lots of niches. You know, if you've got a big industrial firm, you know, a big industrial plant, you know, in this case, it's like they need the automation working all the time or they're losing hundreds and hundreds of thousands of dollars potentially in a day but from lack of production. So the thing is like this stuff doesn't stop, but there are definitely niches that stop. And so part of this mentality is just not accepting that things are slowing down. It's that there is stuff you can do and it's just taking that bull by the horns and being proactive with seeking what is there. And so I think, you know, if you have that mentality, you will find a way.
Well, I think I mentioned it earlier. The people who are going to struggle and, you know, I call them kind of the losers, they focus on the economy out there, what's happening, and they kind of let the responsibility for their results fall to the economy, and so therefore they don't have to take responsibility. The winners focus on building their economy and their economy irrespective of what's happening in the economy. That's what the winners do, and so that's what we're driving at here.
100%.
And that also applies to your margins as well. So, you know, there can be some price pressure in different segments of the market when things are tougher. But you can always work on the efficiency and the productivity of your service delivery. And so what happens often in busy times, we get busy and that can get a bit loose. And again, the cracks get papered over. But in this environment, it's critical to focus on the systems and the processes that you have to run your business so that you can provide high quality service at a good price. And I'm not suggesting we're going to beat down our workers here. But we can maximize their efficiency. And there's so many ways to do that. For example, labor utilization, you know, making sure that we're actually billing out the time we're paying them for.
Yeah, decreasing downtime between jobs. Downtime,
yeah. It's making sure there's minimal mistakes on job sites. So that's good quality assurance processes, great handover processes between different parts of the business. It's KPIs with your team. So measuring, you know, what results you're looking for from them, you know, even simple things like jobs cards or completed on time, on site, with photos, with materials, and checking that it's done all the time. That's going to drive the right behavior. So you actually protect your margins through productivity. And just think how good that is when you do this and you're getting maybe two or three extra points of gross margin through efficiency. When the environment gets better and there's a little bit more headroom for pricing, you're going to absolutely crush it. Because you'll be tight, you'll be lean, you'll be focused rather than fat and bloated, which can happen when things are going well.
Yeah, well, you've built that muscle when times are tough, and then when times are better,
you know,
that same muscle jumps into action and is on steroids now. So you're away to the races, which is great. I think the next thing for me is control the controllables. Like at this time, you know, when things are like this, it's really, really easy to feel like overwhelmed, stressed, and out of control, or like things are out of your control. But there's always stuff that you can control. So speaking to a client the other day, and he's telling me, hey, look, you know, it's been a really hard year. We've been through, you know, a whole bunch of difficult stuff. And, you know, honestly, I just feeling really overwhelmed, and I'm finding it hard to focus, and I'm not feeling really, you know, razzed up about anything in particular as far as things to work on. I just want my bank balance to come back. And once that comes back, then I'll be able to focus and get busy. It's just all I can think about right now. And anyway, we had a discussion. I'm talking about, hey, look, you know, I know that you want this outcome of your bank balance building back up, but the thing you need to first realize is that that is not an outcome. that's a symptom of an outcome. So when you have bad cash flow, you think you have a cash flow problem, but you can't have a cash flow problem. You actually have a cash flow symptom. You have other problems like not getting paid or not having good margins or not having any workflow, which are resulting in a symptom that is cash flow problem, you know, but it's not actually the problem. So essentially what this client was talking about was he wanted the opposite. He wanted great cash flow so that he could build up, you know, his war chest again and have a nice, healthy bank balance. But again, that's a symptom. You know, having that great bank balance is a symptom of positive outcomes. So what we did is that we said, well, cool, well, if that's the symptom you want, what would be the outcomes that could lead to this positive symptom? And so, you know, he said, well, I could have stronger workflow, so I could be bringing in more jobs. And I'm like, yeah, cool. If you brought in more jobs, you'd be accumulating cash faster. He's like, cool. I'm like, what else? Well, I could improve my margins. So yeah, cool. Well, if you're making more margin out of every job, then obviously the jobs you got are bringing in more cash. You accumulate more cash, bank balance builds up. He's like, I could get paid more frequently. So I currently do a lot of like bigger project work and paid on a 90-day time frame. If I was bringing in some work which actually was on a shorter time frame, then I'm going to accumulate that cash faster. You know, so we came up with a bunch of, you know, ideas, things that he could do, you know, outcomes he could get that would improve that symptom. And then I'm like, cool, so you should be doing all of this. Yeah, but reality is it's pretty hard to do everything at once. So, you know, let's pick one. Which one do you reckon is the biggest issue? So he picked workflow. He's like, well, look, if I was bringing in more work, we'd be golden. And so I said, cool, well, then what we need to now do is like put that down into actions. So what are some actions that you could take that would affect that outcome? And, you know, we chose a few different marketing strategies that he could use and that he could put into play today, which would actually help, you know, affect the outcome he wanted, which was stronger workflow, which would lead to the symptom he wanted, which was, you know, that bank balance building back up. Now we got to the end of this and he was pumped. He's like, awesome. I'm super clear. I know exactly what I can go and do. And I feel like I have control again. And I think that's what we're getting to here is that bank balance is actually something that was out of his control because it's something that was bred of something, which is bred of something. Whereas the marketing strategies that we chose and the actions that he's committed to, those are things he can action today. And it's completely within his control whether or not he does that stuff. And if he does that stuff, he'll get that outcome, which will have that symptom, and he's golden. So I think it's, you know, there's always stuff you can control. And if you're focused on what you can control, the overwhelm tends to go away, the stress tends to go away, and you can actually take those actions and get where you want to go.
You become resourceful because you're working on something you can actually control. And stress is basically worrying about things you can't control. That's what it is.
Exactly.
I'm an expert at it. So,
yeah, aren't we all?
I know.
Yeah.
and I think that sort of mindset area is important in this environment, and particularly when you're leading your team. Have you ever watched U571?
Yeah.
Brilliant movie.
Yeah, U-Boats.
Love that movie. Anyway, long story short, the new skipper of this boat doesn't know what he's doing, and he says to the crew, they ask him what's going to happen. He says, I'm not sure, I don't know. And the chief of the boat pulls him aside and says, you know, a submarine captain is a great and terrible thing. Never, ever tell them you don't know. Even when you don't know, you tell them that you've got a plan and you know. Mm. And that's critical in this situation, to have a plan, keep a calm attitude, and let people in your team know that you've got it under control, even if you're not quite there yet, because the way you show up is critical for the team as well, because they'll know that it's a tough time. So the energy you bring, being a captain and standing up, having a plan is absolutely critical.
Yeah.
So that's a big part of it.
Yeah, and I think lastly, just acknowledge that this is a time in the market where slow and steady progress is actually to be celebrated. You know, even breaking even at the moment can be an amazing result. And I think it's just like that story about Kevin and James. You know, they would look at their going backwards 5 miles through that storm overnight. They'd look at that like a huge loss. But compared to everybody else, that was a huge win. And, you know, the margin of how everybody else went back was the margin they won the race by. And I think in this market, if things are really tough, then actually, you know, slow, steady process, like even a small amount of growth or a small profit improvement is actually a huge win when everybody else is going backwards at a rate of knots. And so I think it's just being really appreciative and, you know, having a lot of gratitude and for, you know, what you've been able to achieve and for yourself and your resilience and your mindset when you've worked really hard. Because if you're working really hard, it doesn't matter whether you're going forward in, you know, in a rate of inches or miles. There'll be times when the same amount of hard work is going to give you the inch, and another time when exactly the same amount of hard work will give you the mile. But the real key to winning this game, because, you know, the game of business is an infinite game, you cannot win. The aim of the game is to be able to continue to play. And so, if you're, you know, if you're going forward real quick, real slow, it doesn't matter as long as you're still actually in the game, you still have the right mindset, you're still moving forward. So well, I think that's real important.
The gain of inches is what you need to then reap the gain of miles further down the track. That's the game.
That's it. Anyway, some good stuff. Let's land this plane.
Let's do it. They say that good times make weak people and weak businesses, and that hard times make strong people and strong businesses. So now is the time to step up and be proactive, to lead, to market harder, and to make your business an efficient machine. Thanks heaps for listening. We'll catch you all again next time.
See you later.
Next week on the Profitable Tradie Podcast. Most business owners would love to build a solid investment portfolio, but struggle to make progress on their investing journey. They don't know where to start, what strategies will work best, and they get so busy running their businesses that investing is often pushed to the background. And most importantly, business owners don't understand that the investing journey of a business owner is different from those with a job or on wages. Now tune into this episode where we talk through how to approach investing as a business owner so you can take advantage of the unique opportunities that being a business owner affords. Congratulations on being part of a select group of savvy business owners who are taking their businesses to the next level. And to help you on your journey, don't forget to check out our show notes for a copy of our free book, The Profitable Tradie, and other valuable resources. Thanks for being a part of this special group, and we'll see you in the next episode of The Profitable Tradie Podcast.